What's poppin', congregation? It's your girl, Lacey Mosley, a.k.a. Scam Goddess, back with another installment of the podcast all about robbery, fraud, and those who practice it. Congregation, I'm very, yes, excited, elated, thrilled. Y'all know I am. After 4 years, if you don't know I'm excited, then I don't know what we're doing here, babes. I don't know what we're doing. Today, we have an amazing guest on the show. He's an actor, comedian, and writer. You've seen him in so many shows, including Curb Your Enthusiasm, Parks and Rec, Reno 91, and so much more. Like, this man is an icon. I was so happy we could scam him on the show. Check out his podcast, College Town, with co-host Aaron Whitehead, and Full Throttle with Bob Duca, only on ComedyBangBangWorld.com. Congregation, please welcome Seth Morris to the show. Hi, Seth.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
I'm so happy you're here. I'm so happy that you were allowing yourself to be had.
Absolutely, yeah.
That means two things.
Yeah. You gotta.
No, yeah. And you did sign in with your, like, banking information and everything.
Yeah, it's good. Okay. You're in for a real downer.
No. I can get those coins. I can make them do what they do. But no, so we're so thrilled to have you. I mean, on this podcast, we always start off by asking people, like, what their relationship to scams is. Like, have you ever been scammed? Do you love them? Do you hate them?
I was thinking of that. I mean, I've only been involved in small scale scams, and I'm usually pretty good at, you know, like when somebody's like, oh, my car ran out of gas and I need it's always a complicated story, mm-hmm. You know, like. I realize, like, if they add like 5 points of information, it throws you off. You know, like my car ran out of gas, and then my friend towed me halfway, and then I need to, and you're kind of in a hurry. And I'm pretty cynical about people, so I'm always like, fuck this, no way. But I have given some money to people in the past. Sometimes I'll be like, you're working hard on this bullshit scam.
Right.
Fine.
You know what? I love that. So yeah. I can already tell that we're gonna be on the same way.
Yeah.
Because I'm very much the type, like, if something's a scam and I'm still kind of like, well, you know, why not?
Yeah.
Then I'll do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. There was a guy who I almost gave money to. It was so funny. It was like a movie. So he was at an ATM and he's like, I'm so sorry, man. And he was really flustered, kind of bald, nerdy guy. Mm-hmm. He's like, my car ran out of gas. And he looked like some yuppie. And he had this whole thing. And he's like, my car ran out of gas. My wife is with my kid. And my in-laws got to pick him up. And I just, and if you have like 20 bucks for gas. And I was starting to reach for my wallet. And then I noticed that it was like a close up. He had like a frayed collar. You know, it was, and then I noticed that his clothes were kind of cheap thrift story, and that he wasn't what he was pretending to be. He was like,
okay, but he had wardrobe, he had costumes.
He had wardrobe,
he went to Goodwill, and he said, give me like upper middle class.
Yeah, but he saw me seeing it, and then we looked up, and he goes, it's okay, and then he took off.
Oh, damn. He was like, I've been had.
Yeah.
That's also my favorite thing. I always say to people, actually on the opposite side of being scammed, like the way to disorient people is just to either run away real fast or just start shouting.
Yeah.
And people would just run away. Just become a car alarm.
Yeah.
But damn. Okay. What if he had stuck with it? When you noticed and he saw you noticing him.
I would have gotten into, at that time, I would have been like, fuck you. Gotten pissed off and called him out just because I realized, you know, that I had outsmarted somebody who was trying to outsmart me. But then there was a guy who came to my house a couple years ago, and he had said something like, you know, I'll be honest, I just got out of jail and I'm selling these magazines or something. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, sure. And the longer he talked, the more I realized, like, oh, he's high. Like he had giant pupils. Okay. And then he left his backpack at my front door. But I was like, it's fine. I don't care.
So he just left. Did it have magazines in it?
I didn't want to look.
Okay, yeah, no, I wouldn't have looked either. I feel like something could have jumped out.
A head could be in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you just threw it away?
Yeah. No, I chased. He had just left, and I chased him out on the street. Because I was like.
That was sweet of you. You're like, I don't want this later.
Because
then he could come back and be like, hey, I'm just back to get my backpack. Also, magazines, $20. Yeah. They actually $40 now.
Another one that I see, and a lot of people think it's a scam, but like when kids are like, our friend died, we're raising money for the funeral at the intersection, I'm always like, yeah, fine.
Do you give him the money?
Yeah.
Or are you like, let me see the old bit?
Yeah. I'm just like, who cares? Like, you guys are out here in the sun for 6 hours.
Yeah.
Like, even if it is a scam. It's like, it's good karma too to err on the side of you're probably helping your friend, but if not.
Exactly. You know. I do think it's good karma too. It's like, at some point, we have to realize that it's very weird to ask people who ask us for money. Like, what's it for? Like, what you gonna use my money for? It's like, if you're gonna give someone the money, you're doing it in good faith.
Yeah.
You know, that's an easy psychology thing where they say that if you want to ask somebody for something, give them an excuse, because then that completely just kind of throws them off. But sometimes if I see somebody with a sign or they just come up and be like, can I have $20? And they don't tell me what it's for. They don't tell me why they need it. But what does it matter? I'm not gonna go with them. Like, let's go to where you get using this $20. I'll be like, here you go.
Yeah. I always wish that I was smart enough to scam people. When I was super broke in New York, I was trying to feel like, what can I fucking do to make money? Like, there's got to be something that I could.
You took like a crime assessment test. Yeah. Like, oh, I can't do financial robbery.
Yeah.
Okay. They said I could do armed, but that takes a lot of skill.
And I had a friend who was a sex worker, and I'm like, I just don't think I could do that. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's work. All of this stuff is work. And that's the thing that people don't really understand, especially like, you know, those incel-y type guys on the internet who will be like, oh, all these women just get an OnlyFans and then that's how they make their money. They're so lazy. I'm like, bro.
Yeah.
Do you know how humbling it must be? Because everybody on OnlyFans is not raking up money. Just because you start taking off your clothes doesn't mean people are going to click on it. And I just can't imagine like putting my yabos and my chichongs on OnlyFans and then I sit there and just got like one view. Yeah. I'm like, for real?
Yeah.
For real?
You're like, I fucking stuck a hairbrush up my butt.
Right. I was doing all types of dances and stuff. You telling me three people looked at this and only one person liked it and nobody tipped?
Totally.
That would crush me.
And much less all the tech stuff. Like, okay, now I have to link to this. Like,
And then you got to talk to the people who are fans sometimes and engage.
That seems exhausting.
It is exhausting because it's a damn job. Yeah. That's when people are like, oh, yeah, well, if I was a woman, I could just be a stripper like those other lazy women. I'm like, do you know these strippers are like athletic as hell?
Yeah.
These are Simone Biles on the pole.
Totally.
Do you know how much upper body strength it takes to do that shit?
Yeah.
I took a pole dancing class because I was like, you know, I was so tired. I was so sore. And I could barely do anything.
Yeah.
You got to really grab with your thighs around the pole to climb. I was sliding down. I never realized my hands were just so wet.
That skin skid, like.
Yes. Oof. And that's not sexy. I've been to, you know how people take those dancing videos and they'll take the sound out and just put the shoe scuffs like, squeak, 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 squeak. That would be me in the strip club. Just like,
oh, man. I don't really like strip clubs, but I was at one time and this woman was... She kind of like snaked down, you know, like almost like a centipede kind of look.
Mm.
And she was looking at us and she bumped her head on this little foot barrier pole.
Damn, that would be me. I would be the clumsy stripper.
Yeah.
Maybe that could be my scam, though. If I was just like really bad and people start feeling bad for me, they're like, oh, you don't really have
that's
the skills.
You could get in on the fetish community. You come in with like a neck brace and like.
You know I keep a neck brace in my car, so you never know when you're going to need a neck brace, okay?
That's right.
I slip and fall and immediately put it on, like, ah!
Yeah.
Yes. I love that. I like your positive spin on this. Now I want to, now maybe I'll think about it again, because I was like, I have to have a personality, right? Like the clumsy stripper. Yes.
Yeah.
Scams! Cons! So now we're going to get to our first segment here. What's hot in fraud? This is where we warn our listeners about popping scams in the zeitgeist, or more often than not, we get a letter from them. As always, snitch on your friends, family, and your enemies at scamgoddesspod@gmail.com. Just make sure your scam is retired. That's me. I'm tired. Retired. And because we don't want to, fuck up your bag. And I see y'all buying those fuck up your bag canvas totes. Those are still available on Pod Swag. They've been flying like hotcakes. I don't know where y'all can go where you can just have fuck on a bag, but I love that for you. I love that for me.
Yeah, it's a new day. I think you can do that.
Yeah. You know what? You can. It's just sometimes I'll forget. Like, I have a sweatshirt from Secession that just says fuck off over, like, the right breast.
Uh-huh.
And one day I wore it grocery shopping, and I couldn't. I was like, why do people keep staring at me? I was like, I must look nice.
Yeah.
And, of course, that was my first thought. But, no, I realized I was wearing a sweatshirt that said fuck off on it.
There's this like, diner that I like, and there's two of them. What is it called? Millie's. Which is,
Millie's.
it's like a total normal mom and pop thing. There's one in Silver Lake and then there's one in Pasadena. And it's like a totally generic greasy spoon, you know, people with kids go there. And I'd been going for a long time and I realized that the shirts, everybody has shirts and it says Millie's, you know, and like the logo is a picture of their oldest kid who, when he was a baby and stuff like that. So it's very sort of homey. And that thing in cursive says, Millie, service with a fuck you.
Oh.
It's like, well, this is so off brand for this place. It's like, it's not like some late night, you know, like Fred 62 diner where it's like, we're fucking cool.
They said the customer is always wrong, bitch.
Yeah.
And say it again.
Right. It was just like, oh, this is okay.
I love that the whole aesthetic is so sweet and family oriented.
Yeah.
It took you so long to see that it's.
I just feel like what some dad's like, no, let's just put it. Look, come on. Let's put that on.
People are going to love it on the Insta web.
Yeah.
On the Facegram.
Yeah. But I feel like fuck is the new damn. Like it's not as big a deal.
It still hits me real hard.
Really?
I like it. You know,
oh, yes,
like
yes.
Cursing, like it can release endorphins and
oh,
stuff.
For sure.
So yeah, dropping it just something about that.
Oh, yeah.
And the.
For me,
know?
It's a C word. Like, that's like a real.
Oof. Oh, see, you know what? Culturally, that's so different too, because I say cunt and I'm like, oh my God, that is so cunt. And it's like
really?
A positive thing. Yes. I'll be like, oh, bitch, that is so cunt.
That's
I was like, this
cool.
Bob is cunt.
That is
yes.
Cunt.
But if I say it around like white women, they'll sometimes be like, oh no. I was like, oh no, we don't mean it like that.
Have you always used that? Use it like that?
It's a recent addition to my lexicon.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
that
I'm probably
so
like really
cunt.
Annoying with it now. I'm like, that is so cunt.
I should say that. 53-year-old white guy be like, that is so cunt.
I mean, if you say it like that, I believe you.
I'm hanging out at skate parks and arcades. That's a pretty cunt board you got there, bro.
You got there, bro. Oh no. Oh, see, the black people go cute, and they're like, don't do that, Lazy. Don't do that.
No,
Seth, I don't know, you pulling it off. But I just need a fake name for this person. This is a short little scam.
Claudio.
I don't know why that reminds me of like Stelio. Come. Do you know where that comes from?
No,
American Dad.
Oh no.
I don't know. I not American. Yeah, it is American Dad. I just love cartoons for adults. Someone will know out there. Tweet me if you know Stelio Cantos. But you said Claudio.
Yeah.
So Claudio says, around 20 years ago, I used to collect the used popcorn boxes from the movie theater and come with them during the week to get free refills. That was the deal at AMC. Unlimited free refills if you had a jumbo box. One time with four other friends, I walked away with 16 jumbo boxes of free popcorn with extra butters and salt on the side. I love that you described to four friends, 16 jumbo boxes of free popcorn, extra butter, salt on the side. Because I'm watching my salt intake,
yeah.
But I'm putting plastic
butter.
It's a
butter. Very thorough inventory of this scam.
Right. And I love that this was 20 years ago and you remember it so vividly. Like, that's how good it felt stealing from AMC. That you're like, salt on the side. You can still taste that plastic butter in your mouth, can't you?
Yeah.
Mm-mm-mm. So it said I did this weekly for the next 40 weeks. Okay. Listen, knowing his arc ain't got nothing on you. Not 40 days before. He said 40 weeks.
Wow. At the same place.
I would hope not. But it says in 2005, AMC changed the policy. Refills only apply to same day ticket holders. So I feel like AMC caught you.
I love the idea that these AMC people, like, my hands are goddamn tied. I have to give this kid, I know he's scamming me, but I got to do it.
I also am thinking about, I guess 20 years ago, we probably weren't as like germ conscious.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, because I'm thinking about who's been reaching their hands in these popcorn boxes. It's cardboard, so you can't really like wash it before you bring it back.
Yeah.
So you're just trusting the hands of strangers that have been all up in your box.
Yeah. And also, I mean, I love it because it was a super harmless scam.
Yeah.
That popcorn costs that theater nothing.
Nothing.
They're making
they
like 200% everything. Profit at least. And then the person who's behind the counter is another kid who probably went to his high school.
Right.
Is like, yeah, I don't care. But he gets to feel, free stuff.
But he gets to feel good and empowered and, you know, remember the taste of the butter and the salt on the side.
Yeah.
16 boxes of popcorn, though. This is also such a niche scam because, like, so you wanted to eat popcorn every week for 40 weeks.
Yeah. Movie theater popcorn, which some of have you seen when it comes in those pre-pop in the big old bag and then they just warm it up?
Yeah, which is so trifling.
I'm
like, I better hear a little pitter-patter before I buy my popcorn. Yeah. I don't want to reheat it popcorn. That's crazy. Yeah, they put it under a lamp and then just lamp it up.
Yeah.
Yeah, smaller theaters do that a lot too. But then I'll just buy because I'm like, I'm trying to support local businesses.
Oh, yeah, totally.
But that's what I'm thinking about. So I'm like, Claudio, what is your blood pressure looking like, my guy? Because this is a lot of salt.
Yeah. Yeah.
40 weeks, Claudia. I hope you were tricking off on people like, come on, girl, let's go to the park. They have a picnic. It's just all popcorn.
Yeah, exactly.
He's like, I put the salt on the side for you, girl. Just
maybe he was dating a bird at the time. You know.
The ducks in the park just love him. They're like, it's up. Claudio's here. Quack, quack. Like,
I hope it was the same box and it just got rattier and rattier as the time went on.
Well, see, I guess he's collecting. He went and collected a bunch of boxes maybe at once.
Yeah.
So then, and that's so funny to me too. Like, he walks out of the movie theater with just so many boxes of popcorn.
Yeah.
And I guess he even realized when he recruited four friends that at a certain point, like, if he was going to redeem all these popcorn boxes, he couldn't just do it alone.
Yeah.
So he was like, he got the homies. But what I'm confused about is if the scam was thwarted by them saying, like, you can only get the free popcorn with the same day ticket, movie ticket, then I'm confused as to why he couldn't keep doing it. Because to get to the popcorn counter, don't you have to buy a ticket? Maybe not this time?
Actually, I don't know if you do.
You know,
because they don't take your, they maybe don't take your ticket unless you're at the door. Of the, you know, the at the.
He did say 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, the AMCs now look like TSA. You got to go get your ticket, get your scan, and then the guy at the front rips it, counts it.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And then you get to the land of the overpriced snacks.
Yeah. Yeah. It reminds me of this other scam that I thwarted. And I actually kind of feel bad about it right now. But early days of UCB in LA, we were having some sort of party or some sort of, it was just some show that was hard to get into. And this guy who was like an older kind of just Hollywood sleazo.
David Codd.
He had a fucking old ratty card from when he maybe worked at MTV at one point.
Mm-hmm.
And so he would use that. You could tell he would just use that to get into events and parties. Like, I work for MTV. He said very confidently.
They're like, sir, this card is disintegrating.
And I'm like, what is this? And he's like, well, I should be on the list. I work for MTV. And I'm like, I don't care. And you could tell he was like, it was like crumbling, right? Because he had a date and shit like that.
Oh, damn.
But he was just like some dude you'd see trying to get in the Viper room or something, you know?
Oh, not the Viper room energy. I know exactly what you're talking about. Like, you know, a little greasy, sleazy.
Yeah, yeah. Like, yeah.
And why are you trying to flex with me on a date with your crumpling ass car?
Like, on a $5 show.
Oh my goodness. See, that wasn't for you, Seth. That was for her. He was trying to flex at the $5 show.
But that's what I mean. I'm like, it might have been a sold out show or something, but it's like, it ultimately doesn't bother me. But I do get my hackles get up sometimes, like, fuck you trying to rip me off. You know what I mean? Like,
Oh, Seth, see, I don't know what I would have done here, because the non hater in me is like, you know what? Let's just, like, show this guy off. But I think I would have looked at the girl, and if the girl looked young or impressionable, or like she didn't know this guy that well, and obviously he's running a scam on her, I would have been like, sir, we don't know who you are. You haven't worked at MTV since 2001. Yeah, yeah. Like, I would out his whole shit. I would Google him in front of him. Like, I would really just be a hater so hard just to protect her. Because I remember when I first moved to LA, I went to a dinner, or not dinner. Like, I think I was at a bar with friends. And this guy was like hitting on me or whatever, but he seemed nice enough. So I gave him my number. And I remember when he took me out to dinner, he was telling me that he was a movie producer and stuff. And like, for me, like, I don't really, that's not how I get work. Like, you know, shout out to the girls. Like, if you, somebody likes you and they want to put you in their pictures, you know, have you got to do it. But I go to the auditions and I know what's normal. So he was trying to, we were supposed to go to this after party, but he was like, I need to stop by my house and get something, which I was already like, okay. So we get there. Now I'm kind of scared because I'm like, Lizzie, why are we here? Like, how do we get here? Yeah. But he didn't tell me that we were stopping by the place until I was already in the car. So I was like, I'm trapped.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, I was trying to act cool. Like, yeah. And so we get there and he's in a garage. So I couldn't really just sit there. So I go
up. He parked in the garage?
Yes. So like in a parking building garage. Right. And he lived downtown, which if you live in downtown LA, we know you're a criminal. Just come out. Okay. Yeah. We know you do crime.
Yeah.
And when are you going to give it up? Don't stop. I love it. But so we go upstairs. I go into the bathroom because now I'm like, I got to plan my escape. This is weird. Like,
bathroom of what? His house?
His house. Yeah. His apartment. Okay. And so.
So you're going deeper into the spider's hole. At this
point. It's like close to the door. So I'm like, I go into the restroom and I start calling my Uber. And why is this man sitting on the couch loudly talking like, I just met this beautiful actress, Lacey Mosley. Yeah. We should put her in our new film.
No.
True to the Game. Yeah, no, she real talented. Yeah. Put her in the pictures. Like all this, right? And so I'm in the bathroom. And so I already called the Uber.
Dead cell phone.
Right, literally not holding the bar of soap up to his face, like goofy shit. So I'm in the bathroom hearing him do this, and I had already called the Uber. So I'm like, I'm going to stay in here until the Uber is like here.
Yeah.
So I go on my phone and I look up on IMDb this movie, True to the Game. And first of all, this movie is hood as hell. Like, this is a real Tubi production. But shout out to Tubi because y'all's scenes are hilarious. They do some really funny stuff over there with film. It's not supposed to be funny, but it's hilarious. But so I look it up. This movie is already out. He was trying to put me in a movie that was already out.
Right. Well, that's how much he liked you. He was going to go back and redo it. Obviously. Yeah,
pull it down. Yeah. Add some scenes of me doing whatever, because I haven't told him what I do for real.
And he was a gaffer on it, I'm guessing.
Oh, Lord. If he was a part of it at all. Yeah. But it was just so funny that he thought he was going to flex on a young Hollywood girl by telling me he was going to put me in a movie that was already out.
Also, the loud talk. Like, who has that worked for? That's like a Little Rascal scam.
It was goofy. It was given cartoonish. It's like, I got this new friend, Lacey Mosley. Like, what are you doing, sir? Yeah, so I...
So how long did you date this guy?
We're married. I'm yet to be in Truth of the Game, but I did marry him. No, I got out of there so fast. When I opened the bathroom door, I was like, oh, hey, it's so crazy. My Uber is here. And before he could even get up off the couch, I was out the door.
Yeah.
I was like, I was very paranoid. I still am very paranoid. So I was like running away.
Yeah, man. Oof.
But it was very goofy. So back to what you were saying with the guy at UCB, I would have definitely checked and see if the girl seemed like she was impressionable. Like, if she knew him, I wouldn't play him that hard. But if she looked like this might be a first date, I'd be like, sir, you have not worked at it. I just called MTV. Yeah, yeah.
No, they were like a pair that would do
this. So they were scamming together.
Yeah.
Okay, I like that.
But at
that.
The same time, I used to cater in New York, and sometimes people would sneak into parties. Like, you'd be at a little art opening or whatever.
Yeah.
And people would... Somehow they knew that it was there. Maybe they lived in the neighborhood and they would sneak in to get free wine or whatever. And
I've snuck into so many parties.
Who cares?
Emmy parties, all types of parties. Not anymore, because now I actually, that would be weird. But back in the day,
how would you do it? You just pretend like you're supposed to be there?
Yeah. I'd just be dressed nice. And it wasn't our objective was ever to do it. I would be out somewhere else. One time I was wearing this plastic dress. Y'all know the white plastic dress. And then we went to this VH1, hip hop honors thing. And then afterwards I had some friends at the Fox and Me party. And so I was and I was really young. It's probably the same age as this True to the Game guy. And so we're let's pop up and see if we can twerk it. And so we got there and I was just oh, I need to use the restroom. And then I was we were already in here. I just need to use the restroom. And he was all right, cool.
Yeah.
Care.
I mean, it is it's interesting. Some people say acting is lying, mm-hmm. Do you ever think you could use these powers? Because if you just act like you're supposed to be places, you could really fuck with people. It's a different chip though. But I used to joke that if you just had a clipboard and you told people hey man, you can't be here and whatever, you look like you have a little bit of authority. People just aren't expecting other adults to be fucking with them,
mm-hmm.
So you're going to kind of go with it.
Yeah, it's a status thing. If you show that you have a little more status, most people won't question it. A clipboard is a mean one. Ooh, a clipboard really works.
Yeah.
It still does. You got a few sheets of paper. Just staple them on one side and keep looking down like it's a list.
Yeah.
These things work.
Yeah.
But also status games. If you walk into some place you're not supposed to be and you act like it is just the most disgusting shit you've ever seen in your life, no one will question that you're supposed to be there.
Yeah.
If you look around wow, we did it. Then people might be why are you so happy to be here?
Right.
Weren't you invited?
Yeah.
But if you come in, you're ugh. Nasty ghetto. Let me get some crudité. Is that a canapé? Yes, it can work. I don't do those things anymore, but when I have, it's very funny. There was one time where I tried to scam it to get into this outdoor kind of big party that was happening. And I think I did have a friend who was there, but they were not answering their phone or something. And I was with the other friend trying to get in. So we went to the door and I got a peek of the list. And I said oh no, I'm with so-and-so. And because I just seen the list real quick. And that person happened to be a few feet away from me. And they're no, she's not. And I was ooh.
Oh,
anyways, there go the people who are letting us in. Bye.
You still got in?
Yeah. But it was very funny because they clocked me real hard. And I was damn.
Yeah.
I guess I should have looked around.
Yeah.
Oh goodness. So sometimes a scam doesn't always work, guys. You got to be Seth's ATM guy and just run away.
Oh, it's I'm sure it's a war of attrition. You just got to keep
There's more marks, there's more ATMs
exactly.
all over the city. He's going to get somebody who's not going to start scrutinizing.
Yeah.
Robbery and fraud.
Yes. Well, it's time for my favorite segment of the show. It's called Historic Hoodwinks. This is where I will regale Seth with a famous con caper group of criminals. We'll get his opinions all throughout. This is the one safe space to interrupt a woman, Seth. Anything. We can go anywhere.
Oh, this is it?
Yeah, this is it. The confines of this room. And then it ends.
I got a lot to let
get all you can. Not a lot to let out. So today we're going to be talking about a 19th century Bavaria, a womanizing actress who became known for her talent on stage. I'm sorry, a womanizing actress.
That's,
I had to stop maybe. Really. No, you know what? There are plenty of womanizing women. I don't know what I'm saying. Yeah. I've been womanized by a woman for sure. But she was a womanizing actress, and she became known not for her talent on the stage, but for conducting history's first recorded Ponzi scheme.
Oh, and she's an actor. Okay, just exactly what we're talking about.
Yeah. Now, what I'm confused about is I guess Charles Ponzi made it famous. But you know what? There's always a woman behind a man who takes all the credits. So we might have to start calling them Bavaria schemes.
Bavaria.
We'll see. It don't hit as hard as Ponzi.
It doesn't, yeah.
That Ponzi just sounds like
crap. Or you could, yeah, if you shortened it, you'd be like, I got babbed.
That sounds gross.
It sounds like something happens at the doctor.
Yeah, I don't want to get babbed. Yeah, it sounds... Look at an exam.
Slap a bav on that.
Oh, no. Yeah. Okay, Bavaria, I see. Your name just really wasn't slapping that hard. But we're going to give you credit. But Bavaria, okay. So, I'm sorry. Bavaria is the place. That's not her name. So, her name. Maybe her name is going to slap a little harder. Her name is Adelheid Spitzer.
Spitzer.
Spitzer. Here we go.
Spitzer.
Adele is what people are calling her. I'm going to call her Adele for short. Okay, scamming in the deep. But her real name, because I'm only going to do this once, is Adelheid Spitzer. Okay, yeah, girl, that don't sound good either. Spitzer scheme?
Whoa.
Too many syllables.
Now, we're looking at this picture of her.
Yes. I want to say that whoever the artist was who did this picture somehow captured the evil in her eyes.
Absolutely.
Like, they are great artists.
Would you agree with me that it kind of looks like Tom Hanks doing an SNL sketch? A little bit.
Don't do Tom like that. But maybe a little. Like, this could be Tom's sister for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
And I mean, she clearly has some good acting skills, so maybe she could be up there with Tom.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
One of our beloved kings. I remember, like, that's one of the markers for me when COVID really, like, hit the States hard, or at least when they started talking to us about it. It was that the NBA shut down, and Tom Hanks and his wife got the Rona in the same day.
Yes.
And then everybody was like, not our beloved man,
yeah,
our beloved
it's like,
wife.
This is serious now.
Yeah. They were like, shut everything down.
Yeah.
Shut down all the stores.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's how I'll always remember it. Tom, you're loved. So we're going back to Adele, which is what we'll be calling her the rest of the episode. Mm-hmm. So Adele was born in Berlin in 1832 to actors and singers Joseph Spitzer and Betty Spitzer Vio. So those are her parents. They're beloved actors. Look at this drawing. Look at Betty.
Whoa, look at that hair. That's awesome.
Yeah, how did she get her hair to the
That's like some hey. Tim Burton.
Did they have like hair products like that? That probably was some kind of
That's
you it smelled weird.
If she was at the Met Gala, people would be like, that's perfect.
Right. We were about to say it, that's so cunt.
That's so cunt.
She was giving though. Betty is really giving. These are great drawings.
Yeah.
In 1830s, y'all were really drawing good. I don't know why I would expect people not to be able to draw throughout time.
Yeah, they had all that time. They didn't do shit.
You're
lives.
Right. They actually probably were better at
Everybody
drawing.
Was probably a good drawer because they didn't.
Right.
Only two of them could read. The rest had to.
Right. Everybody else had to just like draw it out.
Yeah.
Sound it out. So Joseph and Betty were so beloved that King Ludwig offered them a permanent engagement at the National Theater, which led to the family moving to Munich. So everyone was loving their shows. The king was like, y'all got to come up here and entertain me whenever. And this is the King Ludwig. He looks like he likes a good play.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's funny how that aside from the clothes, like that. That could be a hipster dude.
Oh, right now in Brooklyn. He's in Brooklyn right now.
100%.
The reincarnate of King Ludwig, just walking around Fort Greene.
Vaping around Fort Greene.
Vaping around Fort Greene. I love it. So Joseph died suddenly in December 1832. So this is just, remember, Adele was born in 1832. And then Joseph, just like a man, gonna die suddenly as soon as somebody have a baby.
That's right.
Never taking care of their kids. And Ludwig, okay, so this is tragic, obviously. It's December 1832. And King Ludwig helped Betty by paying for their children's tuition. So King Ludwig was like, y'all were still my faves. Like, I'm so sorry, you know, baby dad passed, but we gonna hook y'all up. So he was paying for their children's tuition. I'm like, I hope he paid for a sitter, too, because...
Yeah.
A fresh baby and other kids and one income. So as a young adult, Adele wanted to become an actress against her mother's wishes and began studying with the famed Munich actresses. Now, Betty, weren't you an actress? Why are you hating on her?
I get that, though. I was talking to these, I did a show and was talking to the director and the producer and we were just talking about kids and stuff. And I said, how would you want, how would you be okay with your kids going into this business? And they're both, they both kind of paused and they're like, as long as they weren't an actor.
Ooh!
Just because it's so hard.
It is hard. And I will say it is very difficult to keep your sanity doing it too.
Yeah.
I have all types of healers and psychiatrists and therapists and prayer and just trying to stay sane. It be working most of the time, sometimes not. So yeah, I don't know if I would want my kid, if I could nepo them real good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If I could nepo them down, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like a Jamie Lee Curtis, like real strong nepo.
Yeah.
Where you don't even know she nepo and then you're like, oh wait.
That's
like,
right.
Yeah, like one of those.
Yeah.
Or like a Dakota Johnson. I like her energy. I have not met her yet, but I just like her little dryness. I don't know. Every time I see her, I think she's so funny.
I'm so like, I don't know what I've only seen her in 50 Shades of Grey. So it's
oh, no. I see a lot of her interviews.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I'm talking about her. Okay. Now, the 50 Shades, I did see one of them. They paid her a lot of money to do those.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, but it was just like a horny man, right, who had a plane and
super horny rich dude who
he was hot, which I think is like a secret fantasy of a lot of women, is like, because like to date the rich guy, they're never
no
really
yeah
hot.
There's a trade-off
they're always trade-off. Like crusty and musty and a little dusty,
yeah,
but then you found like a real nasty sexy billionaire, maybe you'd be like you can put me up. Oh wow. So her mother was like, don't be an actress. But at the age of 24, but I'm also thinking about, this is Germany. This is not like Hollywood, like right now.
Right.
Like, I don't know if I still would want my kids in Hollywood. But in Germany at this time, like just being at the Playhouse, I feel like that's not as bad.
I guess. I don't know. I think because actors were, I feel like actors were out then, I think they're like scammers. They had to kind of be scammers. Like,
yeah, it was a respected profession.
I don't know what it was like still in Europe. Like you think about like vaudeville and burlesque, like, that was a tough life, man. Just like taking
true.
A train from this shitty town to this shitty town, and then you got to try to get paid. It's like, you
it's
know,
like
stand-ups are
carnival.
So tough. Like, so many stand-ups that I've met are like kind of tough, like being out on the road and they have to fight to make sure they get paid. And it's just like, it's a more cutthroat world.
It is. I've spent some time in it. I'm back in it. And it is, I kind of like, when I first started out acting, I was doing a lot of stand up. And then just being in New York and at all these seedy dark bars with all these like little leery men, I was just like, this is just so nasty feeling.
Yeah.
And then I started UCP because I was like, oh, church camp.
Yeah, right.
Compared to.
Yeah.
She debuted at the Hofbühne in Kölberg to great acclaim. She then went on to have a successful career across Western Europe. So maybe she got a little nepoed. Her mother eventually offered her an allowance of 50 gulden a month for life, or roughly like $600 in USD if she declined the acting job.
Oh, wow.
So her mom was like, I'll put you on the trust fund if you just stop acting. I do not want you to do this.
Wow.
Now I'm like, Betty, why are you hating so hard?
Yeah. I feel like the mom had some sort of secret. Now, do you feel like the mom maybe was hooking up with the king or something? Like there was like some sort of...
Well, she's traveling around Western Europe. So it's not even like she's like up under the king.
No, but I mean like that's how the mom had this arrangement with the king. And so she's kept in a way, and the shit that she had to do as an actress.
Maybe.
I'm telling myself this story now. Like,
yeah, because part of me doesn't want to not be on the mom's side because we don't know. I feel like it's either two things. It's either like the mom is a hater because she was the star of the family and she don't want her to pop off.
Right,
but that feels like, Okam's Razor, like that feels too complicated. I feel like you're right. Like it's like, she's like, I don't want you doing what I had to
I'm
set
just
up
surprised
now.
That the king would do that for an acting like say, I'm going to keep supporting you. I
feel like this is also the time though where like, if Betty had this good situation set up and some status in society, because the king is her homie, right?
Yeah.
Like she could probably marry her daughter off
right.
to some fancy schmancy pants and then she would have an easier life and they'd probably get some coins.
Right.
Yeah. So I want to note here that the South German gulden was the currency of the state of Southern Germany between 1754 to 1873. So if gulden sounds fake, that's why, because we've never heard of that note. So even after her mom was like, please, I'll give you $600, you know, a month. And back in that time, that's a lot of money. Adele continued to work. And during one job in Altona, she met fellow actress Emily Steer, with whom she began a romantic relationship.
Oh, okay. So now we're getting to the womanizer
part. The womanizing, yes. So despite being hired in many theaters across Europe, Adele failed to achieve lasting success on the stage due to her masculine appearance. I mean, Seth, you did say she looked like Tom Hanks
I mean,
in a wig.
I'm not going to say I called it, but I called it.
But I mean, like,
Also,
there's
and
a
this
gamut
is,
of masculine and femininity and like in being a, you know, any type of woman.
Yeah. And this is, I feel this is going to make me a era-ist or something, but mm-hmm. I feel like a lot of women that were considered beautiful from historical times, I'm like, they look mannish to me.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that's also like
the beauty standard changes.
The beauty standard always changes. And there's just always going to be, that's why it's so weird to me when people are like trying to say that a woman looks like a man. I'm like, what's offensive by that? We all have masculine and feminine
right,
traits.
Saying, yeah.
You know what I mean? So I'm like, if anything, you're giving me transphobic. I'm like, if you got a strong jawline, pop that.
Right.
Who is that beautiful woman with that strong jawline? Brooke Shields. Like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, like gorgeous. I like a little, you know, I like a little difference. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I think she should have been working, especially if she was already a Nepo kid. I don't understand why they got in the way of her like that. I feel like, so is this another photo of her? She looks, she doesn't look, okay,
yeah.
I don't know what they're trying to say, but me for one, she looks very different here than she did in the first drawing we saw. So now I'm like, who can draw and who can't? Because this don't look like the same woman to me.
No.
Even if she aged, it don't look like the same
yeah.
woman.
Yeah.
These are two different women to me.
That's like a harder, the first one we saw seems like just later in life.
Yeah, but even later in life, her face shape doesn't look the same. I'm like, who can draw and who can't?
Right.
Who do we believe?
Right.
She looks more like her mother in the first or the second photo that we're looking at where she's younger. So maybe she did look more like this. I'm more inclined to trust this artist.
Yeah.
But so, her mother's 50 gulden allowance was not enough to fund her lavish lifestyle of living in hotels with her girlfriend and six dogs, and she accrued significant debt while working in Hamburg and Zurich. So I guess she did eventually take the gulden from her mom. Or maybe she took it and scammed and was like, yeah, I'll never touch a stage again.
Yeah.
But it's like, we don't have Instagram. We don't have any social
right.
media. Who's going to know that she's actually still acting?
Yeah. I mean, that makes me, the fact that she wanted it so bad, that's kind of inspiring. Like, she wanted to keep acting. You know,
right.
she obviously had the bug.
Even though she had a trust fund.
Yeah.
So Adele had to borrow money from moneylenders to continue, which gave her an idea. In 1869, Adele gained the trust of a carpenter's wife in Munich. So now she's gained the trust of a carpenter's wife. Mm.
Was it Mary?
Well, Mary wasn't with Jesus.
Oh, wait, which who? What's Jesus' mom's name? It was Joseph.
Mary. Magdalene. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, right. Who is the?
You talking about Jesus' mama? That was Mary.
Yeah. That's
Joseph.
Mary.
Joseph was Mary Boothang.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then who was the
God
prostitute who?
Oh.
Wasn't that also Mary?
Oh yeah, I think she was also Mary.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So she claimed, this is Adele, she claimed that she knew someone who would pay this woman, the woman of the carpenter, a 10% return monthly on her investment, and so convinced her to give her 100 guldens, approximately $1,000 in USD today. Adele then placed ads in the city's major newspaper advertising a similar promise. Soon, her banking services became known throughout Munich's poorer communities. More people gave her their savings, and some even sold their farms to live off the interest.
Wow.
So also, I'm not on your side right now, Adele, because why are you scamming the poor?
Totally. Because she's also, she comes from
your trust
some
fund
poverty,
kid now.
But now is written, so she's like, you know, it's not like.
But why don't you scam in the society that
yes,
you've been
exactly.
let into? If you know kings and stuff, why are you down here at the farmhouse, like, you know, trying to scam the goat herder? That's a thing, right?
Yeah.
They need to herd them somewhere.
They're not going to herd themselves.
They
need
somebody. They just going to be chilling as goats. You got to herd them somewhere.
You have these goats running all around.
Right. So in 1869, she officially founded the Spitzderisch Privat Bank. So that's the private bank, the Privat Bank. So Spitzdalish Privat Bank.
Wow.
Before long, Adele had to rent additional rooms in her hotel to house her 40 employees as she continued to run her bank out of her own rooms. I'm so sorry, but I don't even care if we in olden times, 1869. My bank is not going to be in somebody's apartment complex.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. But what were banks then? There was no like federal banks.
Yeah, you're right.
Because even you're talking about they have like regional money. Like it must have been so easy to fucking scam people.
I'm also confused too, because if you're running a bank out of your crib, like to me that just sounds like an easy place to rob.
Yeah.
Like I would have been kicked the door in and caught a lick. Like what do you mean
yeah.
the bank is at your house?
Yeah.
Hold on. We have to go to the safe and like or to the vault. They
Hold
go to
this
the vault.
Flower.
The vault is money. Just them lifting up the mattress and they're like, how much was your deposit?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll get your mattress funds right away. This is bizarre. So she ran an unconventional business, obviously. Money was left in large sacks and stuck in random cupboards. I'm mad that I was joking about the mattress, but literally she was putting money in sacks. Wow. Like she a goddamn cartoon character.
Yeah.
And hiding it in the cupboard, aka the vault, next to the flower.
And at this point, she must be freaking out because it's too successful.
And she has 40 employees.
Yeah. So there's just a house full of cash.
And too many people to rob you.
Yeah.
So none of her employees were trained in accounting. Oh, shocker. And they often simply took money without recording all the details of its depositors.
Yeah.
So people would come in and deposit money into the bank, and she would be, the employees were like, thank you so much for the money. Have
of
a great day.
Of course they were.
And they were like, you don't want my name? I don't need to fill out a form. Oh, no, we got you. I see your face, King. And you gave me one wrist thickness of money. Yeah. Okay, we got it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, and they're just, they have no loyalty. Her employees have no loyalty to her because, like, oh, you're scamming people. I'll dip into this.
Right. And if they work there, they know it's not on the up and up because there's just sacks of cash everywhere. They're not taking into account what people bring in. So the bank gave no securities and solely ran on acquiring new customers quickly enough to pay existing companies customers their money. So just like a Ponzi scheme, it's like they get new investors and then they pay off dividends to old investors and they're pretending that your money is accruing interest when in reality, your actual money is gone.
And this is so close to regular business. To legitimate regular business, especially Hollywood business.
Ooh,
don't you think?
The fact that the streamers are so deeply involved in the stock market has just always been so bizarre to me.
And you know what's funny? Every once in a while you hear stories about people, there's like drug money or mob money or whatever, because it's just like another place to put money and move shit around. And some of those people get some sort of, you know, entertainment bug and they want to be involved in it. And there's so many things where, you know, a deal falls through because, oh, well, I had these other things lined up, but they fell apart. And like, you realize they were just holding on by a thread the whole time.
Oh, exactly. And just pretending. I mean, there was a Hollywood scam we covered here that is a man who produced a movie that, you know, was involved with Leonardo DiCaprio and everything. And he stole money from a country.
Yes, yes.
From a whole country to put it in Hollywood.
Yeah. And if he was successful, he would be a kingpin.
I mean, he's still running the streets. They haven't got him.
Yeah.
So I'm like, that's kind of successful.
But there's lots of those kind of people who, like, you know.
Yeah. Who get so involved. And you never realize how insidious it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Follow the money or maybe don't because I'm not trying to get hurt. So by October 1871, the owner of the hotel Adele was living in and housing her employees was fed up with the customer traffic. So she moved into a house she bought with 54,000 gulden of her customers' money, which is approximately $616,000 today. So I just can't imagine that a 600,000 house back then in 1871 wouldn't be like some kind of palatial situation.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Like, that's wild. Now in LA, that'll get you an outhouse.
For sure.
Door not included.
Yeah. An outhouse with a septic tank.
Yes. So of her 83 employees, many were brokers who received 5-7% commission for each new customer. So she was like, y'all bring in the people and then I'll give y'all a little commission off of whoever you scam to give us money. So that's how she's incentivizing it. When she started bringing in $300,000 to $400,000 a day.
Back then?
Yeah. She expanded and began selling and buying prime property throughout Bavaria. I can't imagine that she didn't have hired like muscle or protection or something, because this is very much, I want to rob you, Adele.
This is a great movie, Jesus. And I feel like once you start getting into property, then you're home free.
Oh, yeah.
Because then how can they can't take all that shit away from you, I don't think.
True, because now if it's like just paperwork that already has your name on it.
Yeah.
But I also think about this time in like forgery. It's so easy to forge a banknote or do any of that kind of stuff. Like, who's to legitimize anything back then when they didn't have like...
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And everybody can draw.
Yeah, absolutely. Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Everybody should be putting them skills to use. So at the height of her fortune in 1872, she was considered to be the wealthiest woman in Bavaria. Well, of course she was. She took everybody's wealth. How could you not be? So in 1871, authorities began trying to shut down Adele's business, but couldn't find a legal reason as to why she was technically fulfilling customer obligations. So now the feds are just hating on her.
Because they know it's fishy, but they can't quite proved because she's moving it around enough.
Yeah. And I don't, and maybe they know it's fishy or they've heard whispers, or maybe they're just hating on a woman who's getting her coin.
Sure.
Because, like, at this time, especially too, like the feds, like, once you start to get this rich, you usually get the government involved. Either, yeah, you know, you start donating to politicians or you try to get, yeah, people in your pocket or you kick some back to the other, mm-hmm, people to keep you out of this kind of trouble. So we don't know if Adele was like really sharing the wealth. So they might just be looking at her like, we got to take this woman down. I don't know how she's doing it, but it's crime.
And she, yeah, she's an unmarried woman, probably in her 30s at this,
mm-hmm,
point.
Yeah. Why does no one own her?
Yeah. Yeah.
We need a piece of this. She's keeping it all for her own vagina. Yeah. Yeah. So they could have just been hating. So the following year, the Munich Commerce Court essentially banned money lending unless she registered her business and conducted proper accounting. So that's it. They're like, register. We need registration fees. Like,
they're also actually not asking too much.
Yeah.
They're like, can you write some of this down?
She's like, no, it's a vibe. Investments are just a vibe.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, you gave me a thick amount of money, I'm gonna give you a little thicky thick back. You
I'm
know
a
what
money
I mean?
Artist. Yeah.
A money artist. I want to be a money artist.
Yeah.
I love that. It's just a vibe, babes. What do you mean accounts payable?
You should start like, this would be a good, you know, like all these women are into like kind of like witchcrafty, mm-hmm, you know, like tarot cardy. You should start the financial version of that, where it's,
ooh,
like intuitive money,
intuitive investments.
Intuitive investments.
Oh, I love
so
that.
So then it's like, you don't want to, if they get too technical with you, like, can I see receipts? Like, oh, so you want receipts? I think you're maybe not ready to work with me because, yeah.
Because if you need receipts, the universe provides them every day.
Yeah.
A stiff breeze.
How do you feel?
That's a receipt.
Yeah.
Okay, the sun shining on your skin, warming it in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
That is a return. That's an ROI. Okay, I put that out there for you.
Yeah.
The sun? Yeah, yeah, the sun. Walk with me.
Yeah.
Off of this cliff. So, to circumvent the ban, she allowed workers to withdraw money from her bank and lend it to customers under their own name. So now she's like, okay, if you want the bank to stop lending to people, then Tony Tone actually lended out this money.
I see, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So the success of Adele's bank created competition for other larger banks and even threatened to shut them down due to customers withdrawing their funds to deposit with her. Because now you've got this Ponzi scheme that seems to be working, right? Like, everybody else is giving normal return rates.
Yeah.
Normal loans. And she's like, come over here. No, we're going to give you like $1 million return next week.
Yeah.
Like, so people are leaving their regular institutions because they want to get rich quickly. In response, now the banks are really hating. So now the banks are probably pressuring the government. They're like, shut this woman down.
Yeah.
So in response to the Bavarian government, so in response to like Adele basically blowing up and, you know, her bank is popping, the Bavarian government placed ads in a local newspaper warning customers not to invest with Adele. So now they're hating on her and they're putting it in print. Extra, extra, read all about hate.
Yeah.
So in order to escape the suspicion, Adele cultivated an image of pious exceptionality, an honest woman who cared for public welfare. Can we see that picture again of Adele? The older one? So Adele said now, that's why she has this cross around her neck.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
why instead of like the other one, she's a hot girl. And we seeing all the chichis and whatnot. Now
yeah.
she has a collar that goes all the way up to her under eyes. Like, you're not going to see nothing
yeah.
untoward.
Which is not that different from Steve Jobs wearing a turtleneck. And
she invented the turtleneck.
You know what I mean? Just like, I'm not into the money. I'm just like here. And all those Silicon Valley's like, yeah. we want to make the world better and this and that.
We never wear logos.
Yeah.
The shirt is $8,000,
yeah.
but you will never know it.
I'm going to go live in space. But by the way, I'm trying to make things yeah. here nice on Earth.
If I was greedy, I'd have my neck out for all to see.
Yeah.
But I put my neck away.
Yeah.
Because I'm just here to serve.
Yeah.
Yes.
Nothing changes.
I love it. I wonder if Steve Jobs was like, like he sees a picture of Adele and is like, that neck, it's something about that neckline. That's give and
take.
Maybe
she is fucking, we don't know if Steve Jobs is actually dead. Like, this could be just like a scam vampire. A scampire.
She reincarnated her scampire.
Just a scampire.
She had enough money to figure out how to live forever. I love that. She got the tech neck. So during working hours, she sat in a leather chair in the middle of her office, bedecked in a red nightgown and cross around her neck. So bedecked in a red nightgown, and she wore a crucifix around her neck. So this is now
Whoa.
Red is not the color. That's
does
my color.
Does she not look like a fucking vampire right there?
She does.
Dude.
It's giving Lestat.
Yeah, big
okay.
time.
She said, we don't have stats for you, but we do have Lestat, the woman running the business.
And when you said that, I just picture an empty room with a leather chair.
I did too. Also, like, maybe because clergies do use red, yeah, that maybe that's what she was signaling. Because red for me as a scam goddess is always like a red flag. Like, I love, yeah, wearing red and talking about scams. But so I would probably have worn like blue or black. But you're right. She's starting to look like she's like the Archbishop of,
yeah,
Bavarian Bank Bishop. Amen. She says a little prayer over your money when you give it to her. Mm-hmm. She gives you some holy water on your way out. So she's sitting in her leather chair in her red nightgown, really giving the girls a show. She's back in her play mode. She's back in her theatrics. Adele also only allowed deposits after payouts had been processed at noon, leading to long lines that created the impression of the exclusivity of
her
bank.
That's really smart.
She was treating her bank like a nightclub.
That's really smart.
Because nightclubs do that. They'll be like, oh, free before 11 or whatever. Then the bouncer will allow a line to be like down the block.
Of
and then
course.
They start letting people in. And when you get in the club, it's empty. Empty as hell.
No shit.
But they need the line so you know that it's popping.
Wow.
Yeah. A club with no line in the door is no club at all.
Yeah. Yeah.
So she was like, I'm going to do nightclub rules.
Yeah.
So her bank is also the club. So... However, she also paid for musical groups to entertain the lines and provide free meals and drinks at the Willem Tell Tavern next door. So she would, like, while she had this line outside, she'd be like, okay, we got these girls to sing for you. They're going to do the can-can. Also, we're going to get you real drunk before you deposit your money.
That is so smart. Oh, my God.
I just feel like getting drunk before you go to the bank is, like, probably a poor decision.
Big time.
For you, but for Adele, that's fantastic. They come, yeah, in like, it's my deposit. And we're like,
absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, we got your five monies.
You know,
all right.
Fucking take this watch, too.
Right.
Like that.
Yeah. And she's like, this watch is worth, okay, another thimble of money. We got you. We'll be back with your return.
Yeah.
So she also generously donated to the church and opened 12 soup kitchens that sat thousands, further strengthening her angel of the poor image.
Mm-hmm.
So she wrote, I'm okay, you should give it back.
She's got to get those people healthy so she can take their money then.
Right. She's like, I need y'all working again.
That's
so
right.
I can rob you. Okay.
Yeah.
So eat up, Oliver, because you're going to have to get out there and do the twist in a little bit because I'm going to need a return on this soup. So in November of 1872, the withdrawals exceeded the investments, which is always when a Ponzi scheme goes down. Too many people are like, hey, girl, we need our money back. She's like, why?
Yeah.
What do you mean today? Think about it.
Yeah.
The vibe of today isn't good.
The band's
just
starting. Come on. What are you talking
about?
Yeah. Just stay in.
Go to Willem Tavern. Have a few drinks and then
think
about it.
Have some of that thick booze that they had back then. Oh, yeah.
Thick booze is taking me down. Oh.
Doesn't it just seem like everything back then was syrupy?
Yeah. And then probably full of lead.
Yeah, yeah. It's like in, yeah, a wooden cup.
That used to be like the thing. Like, what civilization was it that put lead in their water because they thought it was like all the rich people would like,
oh, really?
Constantly had lead. I think it's like the Roman Empire.
Could be.
It was like all the rich people like constantly ate lead and put it in their makeup and they put it in their water because they thought it was fancy.
Right, right.
And they ate lots of heavy, fatty meats because that was rare to get.
Right.
So then the working poor were just having like fruit and vegetables,
right,
and clean drinking water.
Wow. Right.
And the rich people were just like, they were with homeboy Claudio, just,
yeah,
upping the blood pressure.
Now they're going to flip it, yeah.
Injecting the lead. So the downfall, we're getting to the end of this. In November of 1872, the withdrawals and investments, the withdrawals exceeded the investments, like we said before, which forced Adele to limit withdrawals to an hour between 6 and 7 in the morning, with no withdrawals on Wednesday and Saturday. So... I love that she was like, okay, we got to limit withdrawals. You can only come at 3 a.m.
Yeah.
To 3:17,
yeah,
on Tuesdays and Thursdays.
It's like how they're trying to change fucking voting laws now. It's like, no, we'll let you do it, but you can't take off work, and it's only at 3 p.m. on Mondays or whatever.
And you may go to a voting place that, or your assigned polling place may not have plugs for,
yeah,
the voting machine.
Right, right, right.
So, which means unless,
yeah,
you can find a voting machine plug and bring it with,
God,
you. This actually happened in Georgia.
Yeah.
It was like, so y'all better buy some voting machine plugs on Amazon because if we don't got a plug and you don't got a plug, you don't get a vote.
I wonder what the Wednesday, was it Wednesdays and Saturdays? I wonder what that's,
yeah,
about.
Wednesdays and Saturdays, she said no deposits. None at all. Saturday, I was thinking, like, is it like, no, but Sunday's a Sabbath. So I'm like, what do you mean, sis?
She's got to be like, shuffling the money back then. Like, she needs some time to move shit around.
Yeah. And he, Judith, can you look up what Empire was putting lead in all their water? Because I don't want an email from one of y'all. I hate when y'all do that. Please stop emailing the Scam Goddess Pod trying to give me corrections. Baby, it's
but
already out there.
I'm writing it right now. I'm
right. I'm like,
email.
It's already out there, boo. If it's something where it's like a fact that we can, like, we should yeah. correct, which rarely happens. It's always something innocuous that I'm like, did you listen? This is what you yeah. walked away with? Yeah. Please be serious. I don't read them. I just see the preview and I get annoyed. And then I block your email address. You'll never be able to talk to me again. But yeah, so she's now not letting people take out money. So 60 other customers were organized by a competitor bank to withdraw all of their savings from the bank. So, right, like the now.
Oh, a competitor got them to do that.
Yes, because now when she's no longer giving people their deposits when they want them, like these people said, it's my money and yeah. I want it now.
Yeah.
And so competitor banks were like, well, let's get together and do a mass withdrawal and then you bring your coins over to our bank.
Oh, wow.
Yes, because. Because her efforts weren't enough when she was just trying to tell people, like, oh, you can only come from 6 and 7 on when it's windy. And we decide that. We decide how much wind so you can get your money. But her efforts weren't enough. The police eventually persuaded 40 of her customers to present their claims to the district court, prompting a review. So we've got a competitor bank that's like, okay, we're going to have 60 people pull out their money and, you know, bank with us instead. And the police have also gathered up 40 of the disgruntled customers who couldn't get there between 6 and 7 a.m.
Yeah.
on Tuesdays and Thursdays when it's not windy.
Right.
And they were like, file a complaint formally so now we can go after her through the law. And they've been itching to go after her.
I'm almost surprised because it seems it's more lawful than I would have expected. I almost would have expected right. back then they're like, we're just gonna break in here and take all your shit, but they
were
had to
really
go through
doing
all the
rigmarole yeah. and the paperwork, whereas police now do no knock warrants because they want to rob drug dealers,
right?
And then they'd be getting the wrong house all the time,
yeah,
because they're just so thirsty to rob drug dealers,
yeah. Yeah.
Because all that stuff they put on the table, that's not everything.
Right.
They're like, something for me, something for the picture. Two for me, yeah. one for the picture. Like, we know what y'all doing. Yes. And I did, thank you so much, Judith, for fact checking. It is the Roman Empire. I be reading. Yeah. Okay. And then Judith gave us another fun fact that they were putting the lead in their wine.
Ooh.
You know what this, yeah. you know what this Merlot needs?
Yeah.
The lead.
It's like, yeah, could use some more pipe.
Yeah, it don't got enough pipe in it for me, okay? I like to be tangy with metal. I'm a connoisseur of wine. See, that makes me think that, like, older world wine, you know, like the old vintage
oh, yeah.
wines and stuff? Now I'm thinking, like, how much lead is in that?
Oh, yeah.
Like, if I'm a bougie wine connoisseur, I get, like, the oldest craft of wine.
Yeah. I mean, after a while, doesn't it all turn into vinegar?
Mmm, that's deep.
Right?
But then it's still going to be lead. I think lead perseveres.
You're right.
Because it stays in the paint. It stays in the toys.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want that. That's good to know. So for all you fancy people out there who love your like 1800s wine.
Mm-hmm.
So well, obviously way further back than that. But OK, so I'm just thinking about Adele again, which we're getting back to. So now we've got the government trying to like organize against Adele. We've got banks also trying to skirt up on Adele and steal her customers. So the 60 customers that were organized by competitor banks demanded demanded more money than what Adele had, obviously, because it's 60 people who pulled right. up at once and were like, we want our money back. And the bank finally collapsed. By the end, 32,000 customers were defrauded of 38 million gulden, roughly $430 million in U.S. coin today. And only 15% of investments were recovered.
Wow.
That's so what? 430 million in USD today.
Wow.
Also, Adele, what were you doing with the money? But now you know yeah. this makes sense because if you're paying out people's returns on investments that are never happening, all the returns that she was paying out were just principal money that people
right.
had invested. So a lot of the money went to the returns, her buying yeah. the soup kitchens, robbing the church.
And she was buying all this property. Yeah,
yeah.
I wonder what she had to show for it.
All that's the property, the gowns, the leather chair.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I can't imagine you could just get leather like all willy-nilly.
Sure, we don't even know what kind of leather it was. It could have been.
Yeah.
Who knows?
I know. It could have been like a real rare leather.
Yeah.
It's in cow leather.
Angel leather.
This is dinosaur leather. We dug one up.
Yeah.
So Adele was accused of failure to keep books. Now that accusation, Adele, you can't fight that. Embezzlement of customers' funds and excessive wasting of money. Now, how are you just going to say she's spent too much. What kind of crime is that? And you were balling too hard.
Yeah.
Put that in the affidavit. Balled too close to the sun.
ETH.
Ball too hard. Yes, it's a crime. It's a crime to ball too hard. You heard it here first. So in July of 1973, she was sentenced to 3 years and 10 months in prison for fraudulent bankruptcy. Just 3 years.
3 years.
That was kind of cute.
Yeah.
3 years? And then, like, that wasn't that back in, like, prison where you could, like, bring your stuff?
You'd probably walk in and out, yeah.
Yeah. It was, like, just, like, a chill little room.
Yeah.
They didn't have, like, lots of prison technology back then.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it was just a place you couldn't leave, but they were, like, kind of chill about it.
Yeah. She's like, can I get my chair at least?
She's like, yeah, you can bring a chair. You can bring a chair. So during and after the trial, she refused to acknowledge any wrongdoing and maintained that her business was completely legal. The lack of legal requirements for accounting and the fact that she had never advertised any securities were accepted as mitigating circumstances. And so she never met the legal definition of fraud because she made up a whole new fraud that they didn't have in law books.
Oh, okay.
She said, how are you going to charge me on something nobody ever did?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Yeah.
I kind of love that for her. She was like, I'm an innovator.
It's kind of brilliant.
And she found a new crime and was like, "How? We don't have any laws against this."
Yeah.
Yeah. Low-key, I feel like that's how like Bitcoin kind of ended up blowing up too. That was our Ponzi scheme. And they were how you going to charge us?
Yeah.
It's an internet coin.
Right.
Yeah. I think that's why they just let that one guy with the crazy hair go down for everybody. They're like, Sam, bank.
Oh, Sam, yeah. Bankman-Fried.
Yeah. Yeah, Bankman-Fried. They were like, Sam did it all. Sam actually robbed everybody.
Right.
FTX, Bitcoin, your grandma, anybody who got robbed. It was Sam. He's a whole industry. Don't look for nobody else. Sam, you're going to jail. Oh, Sam is like trading cans of tuna to get his haircut in prison.
Oh, no.
Why do I know that?
Is that true?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah, that's how he keeps his hair kept
Tuna's
up.
Money now? It's not cigarettes anymore?
I think it's all types of things. You know, people want that chicken at a seat.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So after prison, Adele was released on September 9th, 1876 in poor health. Oh, Adele. Being hemiplegic and unable to walk downstairs on her own, we want to note that hemiplegic, which I totally knew how to pronounce, and this is not
this is when your blood doesn't have legs, right?
Well, it's the paralysis that only affects one side of your body.
Oh.
When your blood doesn't have lead. She ran out of lead in prison. She couldn't get that good rich people lead.
That's right.
No, yeah. So it's just a paralysis that is only on one side of your body. So that made it very difficult for her to walk like on stairs and stuff. So despite their losses, some former customers helped her find a place to stay and gave her money.
What? Wow.
Listen, they said she just loved the Lord
too hard. Also, she must have been so charismatic. Again, that's where the actor part comes in.
And she loved the Lord so hard. And they were like, we got to help her out. Remember the soup kitchen she opened? This ain't right. So some benefactors even paid for her to stay at a health facility in Bad Wilbad, or Wilbad. It's with a W, but you know, it's German. So in Bad Wilbad, where she arrived to a crowd of fans. And local newspapers. She was that girl. So while in Bad Wilbad, she wrote music for the piano and took acting roles so poorly received that local newspapers commissioned special whistles for audience members to blow at her next performance.
This is the real crime. It's her fucking acting.
She can't fucking act. Can you imagine? Okay, so when you do stand-up and stuff, like obviously like they're... can be moments that are terrifying. Like, what if people don't like this joke? What if they don't laugh? They might boo. They might heckle. Like, yeah, but like a whistle at a live performance?
They made just for her.
Yes.
You know, I'm surprised that she wasn't one of those weirdos that like, with all this money while she was doing it, put on her own productions and did that whole thing.
I guess she just said, I'm not getting back into business no more. Okay, I clearly was not a good business woman. You were excellent until you weren't. Giving people whistles to blow at me, that would just really, I would have to quit. I'd be like, y'all are right. Thank you so much. I'll never be back. You win. So after releasing a memoir, Adele again began giving out promissory notes with explicit warnings that the creditor has to be willing to waive any rights of reimbursement if she was not able to pay them back. So now she's like, here's a promissory note that it's less of a promise.
What does she do? She's giving promissory notes to the people she scammed?
Yeah, she began giving them out. But like, you know, you pay for a promissory note, right?
Oh, okay.
So she said, you can buy this promissory note for me, but there is no guarantee that you'll be reimbursed. And you actually need to sign this document saying that you are cool with this promise note not being a promise.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's more of a vibe.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. An investment, you know, feeling, if you will, like a je ne sais quoi. I was trying to think, a je ne sais coin. You know what I mean?
Like, oh, yeah.
You may get it, you may not. Ooh, money, what is? So she was arrested on February 13th, 1880, with her new companion, Marie Redmayne, who had cared for her after her release from prison. So she found another baddie who cared for her, and then she started giving out promissory notes. However, she was released from jail when local prosecutors decided whoever wanted to give her money of their own free will not need to be protected. So she said, look, I'm a criminal. Do you want to give me money and I guarantee nothing? And if you want to do that, then how is that a crime?
So the authorities were like, fine, you know who she is.
Right.
If you want to be that stupid, I'm kind of okay with that.
And I feel like more people should get out because of that. Yeah. Like, even if they are kind of like tricking people, it's like, y'all saw this man and y'all said y'all gonna give your money to him. We can't charge him because
I can't trust you. You're too dumb to have that money. You should give it to
you should have gave it to him. He's using it better than you were, clearly. Yeah. You gave it to this man in a clown suit. Like, no. So Adele died of cardiac arrest in Munich of October 1895 at the age of 63. So in the 1800s, she made it to 63. That's a pretty strong aliveness. Her family posthumously changed her name to Adele Schmid, probably because they wanted to get that Ponzi scheme clout, and they were like, her other name was a little too complicated for people to say.
Or were they ashamed of her?
Oh, that's a good point.
Were they like...
But if they changed her name only, wouldn't people still associate their name with her? Like, they need to change their names, right?
Yeah. No, you're totally
I feel like her family, like, really loved her. I feel like, I
wonder if she was sharing, you know, like, sending nieces to college and all that kind of stuff.
Maybe. She feels like the people's champ. She had the soup kitchens. The church was getting money down.
It's like, crazy. Now, do you find, because this to me seems like nothing's changed. It's all the same shit. Have you found that to be true doing this show? That's like, a scammer is a scammer and they've been doing it the same way.
Absolutely.
More or less.
Yeah. I mean, like, sometimes you get an innovation like this queen who came up with the Ponzi. But for the most part, it's the same racket. It's just in a new dress. It's just a new drag. You know what I mean? Yeah. And like, these Ponzi schemes they still exist. Like, anytime people give you a business opportunity, first of all, and we've said this so many times in this podcast, if you haven't heard it, why is someone bringing you a business opportunity?
Right.
Like, why don't they keep that to themselves?
Yeah.
And second, like, if it requires you to get more people involved, why does that not ring a bell to you?
Yeah.
That you might be on the bottom level of a triangle?
Mm-hmm.
But they use different things. Like, I remember on Facebook during the pandemic, these blessing circles were very popular. And so on Facebook, it would be like, you know, your cousin or your auntie, like in your DMs, like, join my blessing circle. All you have to do is send $20 to these people and then you're going to get 200 back when you start your blessing circle. And yeah, they just come up with new names for it.
Yeah.
Or they'll be like, we're having a dinner party, but the dinner is like, you work your way up. So when you first come to the dinner party, you bring a side, which is like a smaller amount of money, but you have to bring guests or whatever. And then you graduate up to being like an entree. They had all types of branding for it.
Really?
Yeah.
People just want to believe that they can get something for nothing.
Yeah. And honestly, if you are in the beginning of a Ponzi scheme, or even if you're one of the initial investors in a Ponzi scheme, depending on how long they're good at it, you could potentially make a significant amount of money. It's the people who come in late when all the money is gone that lose the most, which is how Bitcoin worked. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, all of the cryptocurrency, all the people who initially got in on those cryptos, they made a lot of money.
Yeah.
But by the time it tricked down to like poor socioeconomic communities and stuff, that was them just making it available so that they could all, so the people at the top could get all their money back and then leave all the broke people with the bag.
Right.
Which is essentially what she did when she was going out to these farmers and sheep herders and stuff. I was like, give me that farm. You're going to live off of investments for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
It's wild out here. Does this make it sound like you look so tired from Adele?
No, it's a trip that it's so on point with the way they do shit. No.
Yeah. No, I mean, we live in the scam capital of the planet. Yeah. Like, everything here is a whole grift.
Yeah.
This year, now people are talking. Have you seen people, like, on Twitter and TikTok? I want to talk to my CPA about this, but they were saying, like, the tax brackets are starting to, like, expands where like people who used to be in like the 17% tax bracket for the same amount of money are now in the 22% tax bracket. And now so many people, I'm seeing like people I know who are doing their taxes or like people, you know, online talking about how they've never owed or never had to pay a refund. And now they like owe money and they're shocked.
Right.
Because it's like the money that they're making didn't change.
Right, right, right.
Like it didn't increase because typically that's how you join a new tax bracket is you start making more money.
But now it's you're just saying like, they just start shifting.
Yeah. And I have to look more into this. So y'all don't be sending me no emails about this. But I have been looking at the tax program that like Paul Ryan introduced because I'm really interested in if this is true. But they were saying, yeah, you don't just have to make more money to enter a new tax bracket. Now the brackets are expanding.
You just stay where you are and the line moves. Yeah.
Yes, this is all allegedly. But part of me wants to think that is a hilarious scam. But the government is like, look, we know last year you was poor, but now you're rich.
Right.
Your money didn't change, but we decided.
Yeah.
Because we all know about raising taxes on people. That's just something that happens.
Yeah.
But this is like the expanding of the bracket.
Oh my God.
They said, we actually decided you rich this year.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's giving wealthy.
How do you feel? Doesn't it feel great?
Yeah, don't you feel you're in an upper class? Tell people that you know your tax bracket. We know you made the same amount of money, but...
Yeah.
You nouveau riche.
Yeah.
Yeah, everything is a scam. It's getting a little bleak out here.
Yeah.
I try not to look around. But Seth, you've been so amazing. This was so fun.
Thank you so much. I learned a lot. I love it.
Yes, I learned a lot. I'm like, oh my God, I'm so sorry, Seth.
No, yeah. No, I'm glad I don't have the balls to do this.
This didn't inspire you? Because Seth, you said you were in New York thinking about like, how could I rob?
I guess I'm comfortable enough now. That
yeah, no, you're doing great.
Yeah.
But couldn't you be doing even greater if you started robbing people?
Yeah, let's find some suckers out there.
Yes.
I'm going to start a church.
Listen, that's why I don't really get mad at the whole like tax exempt thing because I really do want to start a church.
Yeah.
I'm getting closer and closer every day.
Yeah.
I could do a cute little Sunday sermon.
Absolutely.
Tax-free, run all my bins through it.
You have drinks and a band.
Oh, yes. Communion, we giving out full cups.
Yeah, just shots of vodka.
Yes, we getting turnt.
Yeah.
In his name, okay? And the bread, you know, that's going to be focaccia.
Yeah.
I want you to have an elite experience.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, we always ask Seth, where would you like to be found? Anywhere you want the congregation to listen to you, see you, follow you on social media, wherever.
I'm on Seth Is Morris on Instagram and check out College Town on Comedy Bang Bang World.
Yes, pull up on it. And congregation, as always, you can find me at DIVALACID Valacy on all platforms. If you want to see these amazing drawings, all the photos today are drawings. So y'all be the judge of who drew it best, who's a chop. You know, Sashay, you you keep your pencil and you stay. We'll figure it out. And then also y'all can pre-order my book now on all the platforms. But go to hashettebooks.com and you can figure out where to pre-order my book. Scam Goddess, which is a memoir and also some true crime in there relating to all the times I've been scammed and are currently being scammed. There's not a lot of solutions in the book. A lot of great advice, not a lot of solutions. and the congregation, you know, y'all stay scheming. Scam Goddess!
This has been an Earwolf production in association with Team Coco. Scam Goddess stars and is hosted by me, Lacey Mosley, a.k.a. Scam Goddess. Our producer is Judith Cargbo, and our audio engineer is Rich Garcia. Research for the show is done by Kaylin Brandt. Stay scheming.